welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for the performance by the North Carolina Symphony on Saturday night, March 10th at 8 p.m. in Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. This concert will be conducted by guest conductor Alem Chan, and the guest soloist will be pianist Alessio Box. The program on this performance will include the following. The symphony begins with River Rouge Transfiguration by Missy Mazzoli, and that will be followed by the Piano Concerto in A Minor, Opus 16 by Edvard Grieg. Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony will return to the stage with the Symphony No. 3 in A Minor, Opus 56, best known as the Scottish Symphony by Felix Mendelssohn. And now I'll begin our reading of the symphony notes. First, we'll take a look at some information about the guest conductor and the featured soloist. Born in Hong Kong, Alem Chan became the first female winner of the Donatella Flick Conducting Competition in December 2014. She held the position of assistant conductor of the London Symphony Orchestra in 2015 and 16 and was appointed to the Dudamel Fellowship Program with the Los Angeles Philharmonic in 2016 and 17. Beginning this season, Chan holds the position of principal conductor of the Symphony Orchestra of the Norrlands Operan. In 2018 and 19 season, she'll begin her tenure as principal guest conductor of the Royal Scottish National Orchestra. Highlights this season include debuts with the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra, NDR Radio Philharmonie Hanover, Orchestra Nationale de Lyon, Rotterdam Philharmonic Orchestra, the Antwerp Symphony Orchestra, and the Deutsche Staatsphilharmonie Rheinland-Pfalz, among others. Chan will return to the London Symphony Orchestra for concerts in London and at the Music Academy of the West in Santa Barbara, and to the Orchestra Philharmonica de Universidad Nacional Autónoma in Mexico, where she is principal guest conductor. Recent notable highlights include her North American debuts with the Berkeley Symphony, Detroit Symphony Orchestra, and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, as well as engagements with the Marinsky Orchestra, the Orchestra of Lucerne Festival Academy, Orchestra Philharmonique de Luxembourg, Orchestra Nationale de Belgique, the Australian Youth Orchestra, and the Hong Kong Philharmonic Orchestra. Now the guest soloist. Catapulted to prominence with first prize wins at both the Leeds and the Hamatsu International Piano Competitions, Alessio Box is now a familiar face on four continents, not only as a recitalist and chamber musician, but as a soloist with more than 100 orchestras. After inaugurating a three-year appointment as artistic director of Tuscany's Incontri in Terra di Siena festival in summer 2017, Alessio Box launched the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center's 2017-18 season together with his wife and fellow pianist Lucille Chung. Further highlights of his season include U.S. duo recital tours with violinist Joshua Bell and with flutist Emmanuel Payud, and the release of his recording of Beethoven's Emperor Concerto. In 2009, the pianist was awarded an Avery Fisher Career Grant, and 4 years later, he received both the Andrew Wolf Chamber Music Award and Lincoln Center's Martin E. Segal Award. His discography includes Beethoven's Hammerklavier and Moonlight Sonatas, a gramophone editor's choice, and Box and Chung, a duo disc with Lucille Chung. Alessio Box graduated with top honors at the record age of 14 years old from the Conservatory of Bari, his hometown in Italy, and attended the Kijiana Academy in Siena. In 1994, he moved to Dallas to continue his studies at Southern Methodist University's Meadows School of Arts, where with Lucille Chung, he is now the Johnson Prothrow Artist in Residence. Box resides in New York City with Chung and their three-year-old daughter, Mila. Outside the concert hall, he is known for his obsession with fine food. As a 2013 New York Times profile noted, he not only hosts epic multi-course dinner parties, but often spends his intermissions dreaming of meals to come. The North Carolina Symphony opens this performance with River Rouge Transfiguration, a creation of Missy Mazzoli. Mazzoli was born October 27, 1980, in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. And the work was composed in 2013. The first performance was May 31st, 2013. The Detroit Symphony Orchestra. Conductor was Leonard Slatkin. Now, here is the overview. Composer Missy, or Melissa, Mazzoli is, in her words, a delinquent tap dancer turned insomniac composer whose influence ranges from Beethoven to Balinese gamelan. A graduate of Boston University, the Royal Conservatory in The Hague, and the Yale School of Music, she is also an educator, arts advocate, and performer on keyboards. She directs the Mata Festival of New Music, founded by Philip Glass and devoted to young composers, and has taught composition at Yale University. In 2004, she was composer in residence at STIM, Amsterdam's Center for Electronic Music, where she created electroacoustic works for the Insomnio Ensemble. Mazzoli composed River Rouge Transfiguration in 2013 on commission from the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. The River Rouge of the title refers to the huge Ford Motors plant in Detroit, constructed between 1917 and 1928. She fell in love with the city of Detroit, devouring both photography of and literature about the city in its heyday as the center of America's burgeoning industrial golden age. Now, here is what to listen for. Inspired by the literary metaphor comparing the city's factories to cathedrals and altars, Mazzoli transforms the grit and noise of Ford's iconic River Rouge plant, here represented by the percussion, piano, harp, and pizzicato strings, into something massive, resonant, and unexpected. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, two trumpets, two trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, harp, piano, and strings. And the next work to be performed by the North Carolina Symphony is the Piano Concerto in A Minor, Opus 16, by Edvard Grieg. Grieg was born June 15, 1843, in Bergen, Norway, and he died September 4, 1907, in Bergen. The work was composed in 1868, the first performance in Copenhagen, April 3, 1869, conducted by Holger Simon Pauli and Edmund Neupert as the soloist. Here is the overview. The most successful and best known of the 19th century Scandinavian composers, Edvard Grieg was one of the great exponents of Romantic nationalism. He saw it as his role in life to bring Scandinavian music and literary culture to the attention of the rest of Europe. As a composer, pianist, and conductor, he became a sought-after fixture in Europe's music centers. His wife, Nina, was an accomplished singer, and the two traveled extensively together, popularizing his songs and piano works. In the process, he also helped introduce to the rest of Europe the writings of Scandinavian poets and dramatists, particularly Henrik Ibsen, for whose play Peer Gynt he composed incidental music. Grieg felt most comfortable with and excelled in smaller musical forms, songs, miniature piano pieces, orchestral dances, and reworking of folk melodies. His aptitude for orchestration was indifferent at best. It is therefore surprising that the piano concerto, his only completed large-scale orchestral work outside of the student symphony, would end up as one of the most popular romantic concertos. Composed in 1868 and revised extensively five times, the last revision coming shortly before the composer's death, the concerto was modeled after the piano concerto of Robert Schumann, with considerable Liszt-ian influence. Franz Liszt was Grieg's idol, and he consulted with the older composer on phrasing and piano technique, particularly in the large cadenza. While the concerto's themes are not ethnic Norwegian, it was written before Grieg became interested in Norway's folk music. It still has a northern mood and does incorporate Norwegian dance rhythms. Initially, the concerto was not well received. Its introverted style was foreign to a public used to the fire and bravura of concertos a la Liszt. Ironically, it was the enthusiastic endorsement by Liszt himself that turned the tide and converted both audiences and pianists to the work. Later in his life, his hero worship notwithstanding, Grieg had second thoughts about some of Liszt's suggestions and, in the last revised version, removed some of the latter's more bombastic additions. This final version is the one that is commonly heard today. Now here's what to listen for in this work. Emulating his models, Grieg opens the concerto with a strong piano declamation, spanning almost the entire range of the keyboard and followed by a wave of arpeggios before the first theme appears in the orchestra. Only then is the theme taken up by the piano and elaborated. The cellos introduce a lyrical second theme, although in the earlier versions Grieg had scored it for the trumpets, probably on Liszt's advice. The written-out cadenza is expansive and, of course, technically challenging. The second movement, Adagio, is a tender, song-like theme on muted strings. When the piano finally enters, it gently embellishes the theme. It is in the last movement that Grieg's folk impulses break out in a Norwegian dance, the Halling. But a gentle middle section, introduced by the flute with string accompaniment, serves as a contrast to the ebullient dance. After a brief cadenza, the soloist launches into a coda, recasting the dance theme into the rapid triple time of the popular Norwegian spring dance. The concerto ends with the gentle flute theme, now thundered out by the orchestra and the soloist. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: the solo piano, piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, two trumpets, three trombones, timpani, and strings. Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage to perform the Symphony No. 3 in A minor, Opus 56, the Scottish Symphony by Felix Mendelssohn. Mendelssohn was born February 3, 1809, in Hamburg, and he died November 4, 1847, in Leipzig, Germany. This work was composed in between 1829 and 1842. The first performance was March 3, 1842, by the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra, conducted by the composer himself. Now here's the overview. We are all familiar with the romantic stereotype and often the reality of the composer struggling for his daily bread and artistic survival. Probably the greatest exception to this picture was Felix Mendelssohn, an economically secure composer from a culturally sophisticated and highly supportive family. The Mendelssohn household was a mecca for the intellectual elite of Germany, and the many family visitors fawned over the prodigy and his talented sister Fanny. Fortunately for the development of his rare abilities, his carefully selected teachers were demanding and strict. Mendelssohn's financial security gave him the opportunity to take the grand tour in what was then considered the civilized world, Western Europe, Italy, and Britain. In 1829, he traveled to England and then on to Scotland, where his visit to the Fingal's Cave in the Hebrides Islands inspired the Hebrides. It also produced the ideas that became the Scottish Symphony. Starting in Italy in 1830, but not finished until 1842, the Scottish Symphony was Mendelssohn's last. The numbering of the five symphonies, reflecting their order, dedicated the symphony to Queen Victoria and Prince Albert, whom he had met and charmed during one of his visits to England. The Queen actually sang with Mendelssohn, accompanying her on the piano. Now here's what to listen for. While the music has an undeniably Scottish flavor, it does not quote any authentic folk melodies, a device that Mendelssohn despised. Writing to his father from Wales, he commented, "Anything but national music. May 10,000 devils take all folklore. A harpist sits in the lobby of every inn of repute, playing so-called folk melodies at you, dreadful, vulgar, fake stuff. And simultaneously, a hurdy-gurdy is tooting out melodies. It's enough to drive you crazy." That being said, it's difficult to distinguish Mendelssohn's invented Scottish-style melodies from the kind of musical nationalism he so despised. Beginning with the introduction and the succeeding Allegro agitato, the gloomy atmosphere gave rise to the myth that it was somehow inspired by the tragic life of Mary, Queen of Scots. More likely, the symphony reflects the bleak and stormy weather so prevalent in the Scottish highlands, lowlands, and outlying islands. The climax of the first movement is a veritable hurricane, replete with chromatic moaning in the strings. The second movement provides a little sunshine. Its main theme is near to a Scottish folk song, with Scotch snap and all, as Mendelssohn could get without actually using one. The third movement comes through as passionate, at times even anguished. Its middle section suggests a horn call, summons of doom. Then it's back to the sturm and drang, storm and drive of the finale. But perhaps with a bow to Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, Mendelssohn finishes the symphony with a shift again to the major mode and a new and optimistic theme to end it. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: 2 flutes, 2 oboes, 2 clarinets, 2 bassoons, 4 horns, 2 trumpets, timpani, and strings. These symphony notes were written and copyrighted in 2018 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You have been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'll be reading all of the program notes from the Classical Music Series concerts of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.